Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ. We seek to lift up Jesus, who brings light into a darkened world. Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. What a wonderful reminder from the Rick Webb family. One of these days we're going to step a little higher and find ourselves in the presence of Jesus Christ. But if that's going to happen, we must know that our relationship with Christ is everything that it should be and can be. Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance on this first week of the month of June. And I appreciate you listening today, and I hope the message will be a blessing to you as I share a message that I have shared before on the program several years ago, titled Everything Lives Where the River Flows. My father used to ask me whenever I had the privilege of working with Dad in a camp meeting setting, he would say, "Son, if the Lord lets you, would you preach that sermon, Everything Lives Where the River Flows?" And since this is Father's Day month, I thought that I would preach that sermon on the air, and I hope you enjoy it. Well, this first weekend of the month of June, I'm in Troutman, North Carolina. Actually, we're in Moxville as well as Troutman, sharing the weekend with two Wesleyan churches, Beulah Heights Wesleyan Church and Moxville Wesleyan Church. and our good friend, Reverend Trent Patterson. Then June 9 to 11, Princeton, Indiana, at First General Baptist Church. And then June 30 or 23 to July the 2nd, Wordsworth, Ohio, Sharon Center Holiness Camp Meeting, the location of my spiritual birth, July the 4th, 1963. So looking forward to going back to this very special place. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for our listening audience today. I'm so glad that we can trust you no matter what's going on in our lives. And I ask for those who are listening that might be struggling, those who are having physical issues, some battling cancer. I know some of our listening audience, in fact, are battling cancer. And I pray for them especially today. I pray for those who are sick, shut in. This is the only church maybe they'll have this weekend. Bless them as well. The churches that will gather, I pray that you'd bless the pastors as they preach and the congregations as they worship. I pray that you continue to supply the need for this radio program and Lohman Ministries. Thank you for the stations that air the program from month to month. We love you today, Father, and thank you for your goodness in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We need your help. Don't forget to write to us. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or go to our website, lohmanministries.org. You can give through the Venmo or PayPal tab there. May God bless you.
Flows from thee within. Ezekiel chapter 47, beginning with verse 1. The man brought me back to the entrance to the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside of the outer gate facing east. And the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. Remember that line. He measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was knee deep. Underline those two words. He measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. Remember those four words. He measured off 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in. Remember those five words. A river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore. From Engedi to Engleam, there will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. But the swamps and the marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing." It hardly seemed possible. It hardly seemed possible. 25 years had passed since Ezekiel had left Jerusalem. 25 years, and now Ezekiel is still living in Babylon in exile. 25 years since Ezekiel had rounded that bend that led him from his blessed Jerusalem, perhaps never to see it again. 25 years had passed, and he is still dreaming of his home in Jerusalem. Even the dust and the ruin of that blessed city are still precious to Ezekiel. The rubble and the burned out buildings act like a magnet to the soul of Ezekiel. And even though in Babylon, his heart is still there in Jerusalem. And that brings meaning to the statement found in the Word of God that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now that's just a brief overview of what is happening here in this latter part of the book of Ezekiel. These visions take place on Memorial Day, the 25th anniversary of the destruction of Jerusalem. And now we see Ezekiel in a moment of nostalgia. He's remembering back 25 years ago. Today is when it all happened. And in some kind of low emotional moment, Ezekiel feels himself being caught up in some kind of trance or some kind of vision. And he feels himself being transported back across this western wilderness, back to his beloved Zion, Jerusalem. And now he sees Jerusalem as it once was. He sees himself sitting on a rock in the city of Jerusalem, stretched out before him, no longer in ruin, no longer deserted. The city is stately, magnificent, splendid, thronging with citizenry. He sees the temple resurrected from its ruin, more beautiful than its builder Solomon could imagine. I think it's very interesting what captured the attention of Ezekiel in the vision. Because being a patriot, a son of Jerusalem, He'd been born and reared there. You would have thought that he would have just been captivated by the city, seeing it like it was when he was a child. Or you might have thought, being a Pharisee, being one of the priests that would go into the temple and he would offer sacrifice on behalf of the people of Israel. We're not called Pharisees yet, but he was a priest. And he was one who would take the offerings, the sacrifices, and offer them on the altar on behalf of the people. And you would have thought that he would have just looked at the temple. But that's not what captured his attention that day. It says here he saw a river. And Ezekiel knew exactly what the river was. It was a river of life whose course was set by God. It symbolized for Ezekiel that great stream of grace that feeds a thirsty world. It was that surge and power of God's Holy Spirit that flowed out across the barren desert place, reaching the dry and parched souls of the world. Thus the phrase there in verse 9. Did you notice it? Everything lives where the river flows. You say, wait a minute, Lane. I listened to you read that. I followed along with you in my Bible as we read it together. The Holy Spirit's not mentioned there. No, not specifically. But I submit to this congregation this morning that He, the third person of the Trinity, is in every line of that passage. He is in every syllable of every word. Because you see, this river in Ezekiel's vision is what we call a type of the Holy Spirit. And was it not Jesus Christ who Himself made the statement that when He, the Holy Spirit, is come, He will be like a river, and out of your inmost being shall flow rivers of living water? And here is the proposition. Revival, if it is anything, it is a fresh and new encounter with Jesus Christ. And in order for that to happen, we must know what it is to experience a new and fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit in these days. The Bible clearly tells us that the prophet Joel said that in the last days, I will pour my Spirit out upon all flesh. And I believe that we need that more than ever. And I believe that God wants to come. God wants to meet with us today. He wants to find you out. He desires to get inside of your head, inside of your heart, and speak to that place of emptiness, that void, that vacancy, that dullness, that dryness that might be evident in your own spiritual life. You see, we need that continual submerging of the Spirit to prevent dryness to our souls, to bring life to the dying, healing to the hurting, alertness to the languid conventional religion of our day. This morning my task is somewhat simple. Just make this vision come alive. With the aid of the Holy Spirit, to see what is going on in this vision of Ezekiel's and how it relates to those of us in the 21st century church. So let's begin by looking at the symbolism found in this passage of Scripture. It says there in verse 1 that the waters came down from under the right side of the house or the temple at the south side of the altar. Now you understand that the temple in Ezekiel's day represented the dwelling place of God. It was there that they would go and God would speak to the people in the tabernacle or in the temple. But for you and me sitting here in this church in 2019, it means to us the Holy Spirit coming down, the Spirit of God visiting us and making Jesus more precious than He has ever been before. Because you see, it is He, the Holy Spirit, who can indeed irrigate the barren places in your life. He can bring alive that which is dry and parched. He can spring into being seed that has been planted. The Holy Spirit is the one who will water that presence of God and His Word in our lives. I am not here to be negative today, but you study many of our programs in many of our churches. I fear that they're put together with human instrumentality, thinking that because it's a good idea or because it came from our headquarters, then that's all we need. Oh, I believe in the human instrumentality, and I believe in the wonderful books and training manuals and all of the paraphernalia that we have to help us do ministry. We're not against that. But we must not forget the river. We must not forget the flow of the Holy Spirit coming down and making whatever we have at our disposal work in our hearts and in our lives and in the life of the church. You see, I believe that God is in today. I believe that God is in this moment right here. You may have come to church today expecting church as usual, business as usual, but God is here not to just sit alongside us as we go through a worship service. God is here to help us see something new, perhaps, to help us come to terms with our own spiritual deficiencies, to get us to see maybe we're not living up to that spiritual place that He wants us to be. He wants to do something fresh and alive in our hearts today. Right now is not just a link between yesterday and tomorrow. God is in this moment and He is among us. I wish the 21st century church could really get hold of that, because the first century church did. The first century church didn't have buildings. They didn't have PowerPoints. And they didn't have praise and worship teams. They didn't have all that we have to help us, that helps us make worship. But they did have this. They had a startling vitality about them that enabled them to turn their world upside down for Jesus Christ. And that startling vitality came from the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that is what made Christianity in their day irrepressible. The Holy Spirit was there convicting and convincing and confirming and cleansing and empowering. And I believe He wants to do the same today. We don't need a new Pentecost. We need to experience the original Pentecost, where we allow the Holy Spirit carte blanche. You can come and you can do whatever you care to do in my life. I put no restrictions on you. We need to face the fact. Either the creative God through the Holy Spirit can come, or He can't. I choose to believe He can. Amen. Not only that, I choose to believe that He wants to. He desires to come. So put no walls up. Put no restrictions on the Holy Spirit today. The waters came down. There's no substitute for a mighty visitation of the Holy Spirit in our midst. No program, no book, no sermon, no song is a substitute for that. The waters came down. But then notice the instrument in the vision. It says again, that same verse, "Afterward He brought me again unto the door of the house," or the temple, "and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house," or the temple, "eastward." Now what's the symbolism of that for us this morning? What was God trying to say through Ezekiel to the people of Israel? And better yet, what's He trying to say to you? Us, corporately. Here's what I believe this represents. I believe that the church, your church, the church of which we're a part, locally and denominationally, I believe the church is right in line with the main purpose of God for this generation. Yes, I know the church oft falls on hard times. And I recognize that the enemy works hard to defeat the purpose and power of the church. The church has been attacked on every side by every mode of operation that the enemy can put into effect. I recognize that very well. But I also believe that the church was created by Jesus Christ, given birth on the day of Pentecost, and its task will not be completed until we're called home and Jesus comes for His church. Still right in line with the main purpose of God. The church is still the point at which Christ seeks to remake a sin-sick world. The church is the point where God can, through the Holy Spirit, impact this church, this community, your family, you. Now, because I believe that, I'm not going to despair of the church. I'm concerned about the church, but I'm not going to despair of the church because it is still God's instrument. The church in the first century was alive. That apostolic church, it was alive not because it had good advice. It was alive because it had good news. The good news of the gospel. And that's what enabled them to turn their world upside down for Jesus Christ. Even though Jesus had ascended back to the Father, He was still on the field of battle through the power and presence of the promised Holy Spirit. But while I will not despair of the church, I will again repeat that I am concerned about the church. Because what if we, the church, what if we become lukewarm? What if we're like Laodicea, where we have everything in place? What if we're like Ephesus? It seems to be doing all the right things, but yet we've left our first love. What if we are indifferent? What if we're too composed? What if we're too complacent about what's going on in our world today? What if we forget the mandate which is put at the doorstep of every one of us? Go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Our time has come and gone for this edition of The Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I do hope you'll take a few minutes to write us that letter of support so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through the PayPal tab or the Venmo tab on the website. I do hope you'll find a place to worship this weekend. In the state of Illinois, I know you would be welcome at the Church of the Nazarene in Murfreesboro and Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Faustoria. And in the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point and Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, along with Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Flintwood Wesleyan Church, and Columbus Free Methodist Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.